God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Greetings to our listeners. This is Pastor Larry from Southwest Radio Church. You know, friends, as we approach the new year of 2021, one of our high priority goals needs to be growth in maturity. In other words, we have to grow up. There are a number of exhortations in the Bible to the effect that we all need to, quote, grow up. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Those who are immature are like children and are susceptible to deception. Ephesians 4:14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. One of the great marks of Christian maturity is stability. I've observed when we are growing into maturity, three things happen. First of all, balance replaces extremes. Secondly, a seasoned confidence replaces uneasy feelings of insecurity. And thirdly, good choices replace wrong ones. This is what maturity really means. When our emotions are tempered by responsibility, that is a mark of maturity. Sometimes we have very high ideals. We become passionate over these high ideals. The real question is, however, are we thorough and disciplined in carrying out these ideals? If we're not thorough and don't have the discipline to carry out these ideals, they are not ideals. We are just, in the most derogatory sense of the word, wild-eyed dreamers. We're back with our dear friend, Bill Federer. I'm always delighted to be with Bill Federer in the studio, in a conference, or to speak to him on the telephone, and furthermore, we get a lot of positive feedback. Oh, I didn't know that about George Washington. I didn't know that about how the Bible influenced our political system and so on and so forth. And Bill is a patriot. He loves the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got a tremendous memory. I remember, Bill, sometimes you was talking about Islam, different wars in different places, and you rattled all of those off. So, Bill, it's really good to have you back with us.
Well, great to be with you, Larry.
Well, you've been in politics, actually, in St. Louis, and you experienced voter fraud. So I think we're going to keep on talking about voter fraud. A question that I want to ask, and I know people have asked me, and I haven't had the answer because I don't understand it. Seems to me that President Trump is eminently popular. I mean, when Joe Biden had a meeting, there'd be 10 people. When President Trump had a meeting, there'd be thousands. Even if people couldn't get into the arena, they were looking on closed-circuit TV or whatever. I remember before the election, there was an 86-mile pro-Trump rally in Arizona, and I saw the pictures from a drone. I mean, it went through the desert, Mexicans for Trump, all these people for Trump, and then all of a sudden you hear that this little guy, Biden, who's really not too popular, has been winning. So what's the outcome? It seems to me that President Trump has won. But everything I hear, there's, well, this might not happen, that might not happen. What are some of the danger spots there?
A little background for those that are not familiar. World War II ends. Germany, France, England give independence to their former colonies. And they form brand new countries with brand new leaders. And they're climbing out of the post-war crises. And it's a promising future until the Soviet Union decides that it doesn't want socialism and communism to just run the Soviet Union. They want it to run the world. Little definition, Lenin said socialism is a transition phase to communism. And Karl Marx says communism can be summed up in one sentence, abolition of private property. So the socialists think that they're on a road and the destination is pure communism when there's no private property left on planet Earth. So that's important for us to understand. We use the term socialism and communism. It's like, what's the difference? One is the road, the other is the destination. So the Soviet Union, Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, decides it wants to export communism around the world. So they send KGB agents into these brand new countries, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Poland, Lithuania, Romania, and they identify groups with grievances ethnically. Bosnian Serbs, Croats, religiously, Sunni, Shia, Orthodox, religiously, economically, you know, racially, it doesn't matter. They would break them into groups of victims and oppressors, haves and have-nots. And then they would organize protests that they would escalate into riots. And then they would do violence. And then they would co-opt the media with bribes and threats to blame the leader of the country for all the problems.
We have that today.
Yes. Yeah. And then they would nurture weak links in the military, sort of find who's in office and who's not really supportive of it. And then when the country got panicky and confused enough, they would do a coup or a rigged election and replace the country's leader with a Soviet puppet. And the people would have transitioned from ruling themselves as a brand new country. Now they're underneath of the Soviet domination. Now, in co-opting the media, one of the tactics was they would release false polling data prior to an election to show the popular leader as unpopular so that when they would do the coup or the rigged election, fewer people would challenge it. They would say, well, I read in the polls he wasn't doing too good, right? And now Harry S. Truman's the president. He does nothing. And country after country is falling. Truman thought that the United Nations that he helped form would bring world peace. But the next president is Eisenhower, and he is faced with a choice. Sit back and do nothing and let all these countries fall, or fight fire with fire. So in 1953, Iran sides with the Soviet Union, and they nationalize their oil. And you think, big deal. Well, wait a second. Britain has no oil. There's no oil fields in Britain. So in 1908, Britain formed the Anglo-Iranian Oil Company. You know it better as BP. British Petroleum is the Anglo-Iranian Oil Company. And so when Mossadegh, the leader of Iran, nationalizes their oil and sides with the Soviet Union, Britain has an oil shortage. So they appeal to Eisenhower, who approves the first CIA operation to overthrow a country's leader. It's Operation Ajax. The CIA operative on the ground is Kermit Roosevelt Jr., the grandson of Teddy Roosevelt. He goes over to Tehran. He's an expert in foreign languages, and he recruits mobsters and gangsters and radical imams, and he stages protests and riots, and they attack mosques, and they co-opt the media with bribes and threats to blame Mossadegh, the leader, for all the problems. And they nurture weak links in the military, and when the country gets panicky and confused enough, they march in and put Mossadegh under house arrest, lock him away for the rest of his life where he dies, and they install the Shah of Iran, who loved America because we put him in. And the CIA did the same thing in Guatemala in 1954, the Congo 1960, the Dominican Republic, even Chile 1973. And the KGB did the same thing, with Brezhnev helping Yasser Arafat to start the PLO and Brezhnev hugging Castro and helping to take over Cuba and the Soviets helping to start FARC in Colombia and all these different. And then in Africa, there over 100 different coups. And then the communist Chinese did the same thing in the Far East. This is called the Cold War. And these tactics always involved manipulating the media to give a cover for their coup. And so this was going on. And the people in our military, in our intelligence that were doing these things, they were patriots and they wanted to protect America's interests. But this began to get infiltrated and eventually co-opted under President Obama. Now we know the IRS was co-opted for political purposes under President Obama. Lois Lerner signed in and visited President Obama 147 times. And during her tenure, she targeted all the conservative organizations. And when she was called to testify before Congress, she simply pled the Fifth Amendment, stood up, and walked out of the room. And then we see Eric Holder, that the Department of Justice, he was Attorney General, he was supplying guns to drug gangs in Mexico under his Fast and Furious project. And when he was called to testify, he didn't show up. And so he was held in contempt of Congress and eventually had to resign. And so we see one by one, these federal agencies have been co-opted for political purposes. And then we saw the military and the transgendered agenda, LGBT, being used to push people with traditional values out of the military. So under Reagan, you could not be a homosexual and serve. Under Bill Clinton, it was don't ask, don't tell. You could be one, just don't talk about it. Under President Obama is you can serve openly. And no, not just can you serve openly. Obama says everyone in the military has to embrace this new homosexual agenda or we're going to push you out. And so they pushed out 400. I was doing a podcast recently with a former flag officer, and he said that 400 generals and colonels and high-ranking officers were pushed out because they wouldn't go along. And if they didn't voluntarily step down, they had all kinds of charges drum up and they would lose their retirement. So they were just going. So all that was left is those. So we see these federal aid, and then we have the NSA and the intelligence community. And President Bush put it all in place so they could track terrorists and so forth. But under President Obama, we have now seen evidence of it being co-opted for political purposes, where they would do these FISA requests for the NSA to do research on, you know, Michael Flynn and all these other different people. And then either it was directly used or it was, quote unquote, leaked to the media to have damaging information that could be. When President Obama was doing a phone call with somebody in the Ukraine, there was somebody in the intelligence community that was listening in and leaked this information. And so we see this. So we see that these different departments, it's called the deep state. And there's two agendas going on in our federal government. One is what we've always thought, the country. But then there's this other group that has a political agenda. And it's no different than the Communist Party in China or in Russia. It's no different than a gang where you have this insider. I was had somebody explain in Mexico, they would follow the secretary home from the police department. And then they would threaten to kill her and her family unless she leaked information from the police department on their investigation of the gang leaders. And so you'd have good people that were pressured to participate in this. And so this flag officer told me, he says, all the people that knew about Hillary Clinton using the Secretary of State's office to raise money for her Clinton Foundation, they had to sign something that if they revealed these state secrets, they would lose their retirement. And so it's like here they're now out, but they still don't want to talk about it because they don't want to lose their retirement. So we see that they have now upped it, and they are using tactics that have been perfected since the Cold War on how to overthrow a country's leader. But we just see these tactics being co-opted for political purposes and used on our own soil.
Well, that raises a very good question that I've often wondered about. You know, you were speaking about the KGB, the Cold War. You were speaking about the tactics that the Soviets used. We're aware of that. And it seems that Donald Trump is aware of that because he is very concerned about China. And China is a monster. I personally think that President Xi most resembles the Antichrist of any other world leader because he's got all the technology. Okay, Mao was bad, but he didn't have all the technology. This guy's got all the technology. So here's my question. Biden seems to want to work with China. Doesn't he know that China doesn't, you know, China sounds like, yeah, we'll treat you guys good, but China doesn't want us to do well. And one of my concerns, if Biden gets in, is that we will be suckered in, we will be overrun. And old Joe will say, well, they're really nice people, but yeah, they're shafting us, they're stealing our secrets and so forth. So my point is, everything you say, I think, is very apparent. But Biden seems to be so naive. You know, the liberals, you know, it was like with Ahmadinejad in Iran. Well, let's just sit down and have tea and talk and be nice. No, he wants to destroy us. He wants, we're the great Satan. So is Biden kind of a plant? I mean, he's going to let China have everything. That's one of my big concerns.
Yeah. Well, by the way, I do have all this information in a book, and it's called Socialism, the Real History from Plato to the Present. But Feinstein, the Democrat senator, her limo driver for 20 years was a communist spy. We see that they have a lot of videos of Hunter Biden and all kinds of sexual compromising situations there for his visits in China and so forth. And that's something that's called a honeypot trap, or where they would lure these naive congressmen to parties And then they would either drug them and get pictures of them with underage girls. And then they would say, and I'm being nice, and they would say, you vote the way we want you to, or we're going to leak all this to the press. And that was what Jeffrey Epstein's island was, right? They'd say, hey, come to this island, spend some time with Bill Clinton. But once they got there, they would have all kinds of compromising pictures taken.
Yeah, they had their own orgy island like Epstein.
Yes. And then these politicians that were voted in and everybody thought they were good and they can still give good speeches, but they're not standing up with backbone like everybody expected them to. That's because they're compromised. They have dirt that's been dug up on them. And then with the NSA on their side, they can dig up dirt, or in an honest case, they can take something that you're completely innocent, but they can take it and make it look bad. And unless you have access to the media to correct yourself, they'll never know. Public will never know.
Well, on page 240 of your book, Voter Fraud to Seize Power, and you go through a lot of this, and I've been reading it. You asked the question, would politicians stoop to voter fraud? And then you say this. The question to ponder is, if a politician could justify an agenda which included killing unborn babies, is there anything that politician could not justify? If you're willing to kill babies left and right, like this guy Northam in Virginia, I mean, hey. You know, that for me, that's a key issue. Are you pro-life or are you not pro-life? And I think if you're pro-life, you'll be right on a lot of other things. Well, Bill, you've been a delight, and I know you've been very informative. Such a great blessing to have you on our program. Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners how they can get socialism, the real history from Plato to the present.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is a great one. First of all, we have the new book by Bill Federer titled Socialism, The Real History. You can have a copy of this soon-to-be bestseller for a gift of $25 if you live in the United States and $45 if you live in Canada. We also have the book by Brian Osborne titled Quick Answers to Social Issues. You can have a copy of this extraordinary book for a gift of $15 in the United States and $35 for our Canadian friends, and we have the DVD titled Quick Answers to Tough Questions for a gift of $10 in the United States and $20 in Canada. This DVD covers such topics as creation, evolution, and the Bible, a great study guide. Our special offer today is to get all three items I just mentioned for a gift of $35 if you live in the United States and $55 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order anytime, day or night, on our website at swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
Isaiah chapter 14 chronicles the rebellion of Lucifer. In verse 12 we read, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.
What happened to this incorrigible rebel? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 says, Satan is the god of this world. He is not the god of the universe, nor is he the creator and sustainer of all things. But his authority and wickedness is far-reaching. And we know the effects his evil influence has had on the population of the earth.
God had created and then placed the very first people, Adam and Eve, in a garden paradise. No weeds or thorns or thistles, no stinging and biting creatures could be found there. That first couple only had to keep the garden well-trimmed and cultivated, name the animals, and keep God and each other company. No want or need existed, for the bounty of the garden was given by God for them to pluck with ease. Only one rule, just one simple rule, existed in this unbelievable fruitful paradise, and that was for Adam and Eve not to eat from one lone tree.
Well, they broke that rule. The evil that has come upon this universe from that first transgression is called death. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin." Physical death, disease, mental and spiritual, along with a litany of horrors, now became reality.
Satan's failed coup d'etat forced that prideful angel to change his plans, having been banished from heaven and cast down to earth. If he could not rule the universe, then he would at least rule over planet Earth, the planet promised to God's children who were made in his image. Satan would corrupt humanity, deceiving those mere mortals into serving him rather than their heavenly Father, and so built his evil global empire upon their enslaved wills.
One of the saddest examples of Satan's victory is the occult influences embedded in modern culture. Private citizens like Jeffrey Epstein and his Orgy Island have descended into the depths of depravity that is virtually beyond description. Even the residents of St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands, said Epstein's pedophile island, as they call it, is our, quote, dark corner, close quotes.
The 66-year-old billionaire bought little St. James Island off this U.S. Caribbean territory more than 20 years ago and began to transform it. In his book Shadowland, Dr. Thomas Horn chronicles Epstein's descent into madness via occult practices, symbols, and circles. Satan wants to destroy the human genome, promote aberrant sexual practices as normal, and turn humanity into slaves who will never enjoy freedom over their evil desires. In Romans 1, the Apostle Paul says that they are without excuse. They have no credible argument to warrant clemency, quote, "Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened," according to Romans 1, verse 21.
One day, Jesus Christ will return in great power and glory. No one will be able to stop his dramatic and final destruction of evil. Until that day, however, God's people need to seek God's face in prayer, seek the power of the Holy Spirit, and raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
In the day of COVID-19 reports being the constantly breaking news story, one other important fact has slipped by unnoticed. It was reported in thefederalist.com on December 8th. Quoting, "The past 9 months have seen more than 250,000 Americans die from the coronavirus. Each and every death represents a tragedy. But a separate and ongoing tragedy has also struck at countless more than another 250,000 Americans. Children who have disappeared from school following the last spring's COVID-19 closures. A survey conducted by CBS's 60 Minutes found that among 78 of the largest school districts in the country, at least 2,400 students remain unaccounted for when school resumed, in many cases virtually, this fall. This number doesn't, of course, include the many other children schools have lost in other districts. Every child who doesn't return to school to complete his or her education represents dreams unfulfilled. It means diminished career prospects, lower earnings, an increased risk of trouble with law enforcement or substance misuse, more expense to society through the criminal justice and welfare systems, and on and on and on." A school district administrator said Kiara, a student highlighted in the report, had been a good student before the pandemic, but started failing classes when learning went virtual. "Across the country, public school enrollment has declined for the current academic year. Outside D.C., Montgomery County, Maryland's public school enrollment declined by 3,300, that's about 2%. This fall, Fairfax County, Virginia's enrollment declined by nearly 5%. In Missouri, public school enrollment dropped 3.2% statewide, with a 31% drop in preschool enrollment and a nearly 10% decline in kindergarten enrollment. The report indicated many from affluent families have enrolled their children in private schools. Others are in homeschool. Ohio just enacted a major expansion of school choice. Until every parent has access to school choice, school districts should start taking steps to reopen their classrooms to in-person instruction. The idea that bars could remain open, yet schools closed, runs counter to any sense of logic, not to mention good public policy. The future of hundreds of thousands of children lies in the hands of policymakers and school officials coming up with a plan to open their doors as soon as possible and keep them open. The article concluded, students deserve far better than what they've received during the past 9 months, and they deserve it now. We're reminded that despots of the past killed or marginalized leaders and well-educated citizens in the past. They represent a challenge to those wanting to lead us to their new world order. Poor education results in more easily controlled sheep. In all of this, remember Psalm 32:8, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go."
Did the pilgrims attempt a communistic plan of life? What happened? Is there a difference between socialism and communism? Find out when you order our special offer today by calling 1-800-652-1144. You can also order it by writing to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you know you can order it on our website at swrc.com. Perhaps this is the first time you have heard this program. Maybe you've listened for a while and you like this program and look forward to it, but have never called or written in. We invite you to do that today. In fact, for those that call or write today and say, "Jesus is Lord, please send me the DVD," we will send you a complimentary DVD of our TV show we call The Journey. If you like the radio program, wait till you see the video version. It was banned by some TV stations as being too controversial. Since when did the truth become controversial? The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com.
In fact, if you haven't already, you should visit our website and check out our video page. It's listed as Watch on one of the tabs. We have many videos there you can watch and get some great Christian teaching. That's swrc.com and click on the Watch tab. While you're at it, if you're on Facebook, you should visit our Facebook page. We have a whole bunch of videos on there as well. And if you like it, tell us.
Thanks for tuning in today. Tune in tomorrow as Pastor Larry and Bill Fetter continue this series on the Watchmen on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.